Hey, everybody. Hey, praise the name of Jesus. Hey, Pastor Pat Rankin. I'm coming to you from my Bible study room, 10 a.m. Service here. And I want to thank you all for being with us. Hey, I told last night's service, so if you are on from last night, you'll hear me say this again. The church is not the building. Make sure that we have our minds fixed on that and our hearts fixed on that. The church is God's people. So we're gathering together, and he said, "Where two or more are gathered in my name, there I shall be." So let's invite, first of all, the Lord to our meeting. We'll get into the scriptures. I'm excited about today. I'm kind of stoked. I was kind of running around waiting to get going and all that kind of thing. So let's pray. So Lord, we just pray for a great service, and I'm excited about this day. Today's a day for breakthroughs for all people, all those who are suffering in sickness, all those who are suffering with anxiety, all those who have been waiting for a reason to celebrate. Today is the day. Not only, Father God, we believe today's the day to celebrate, but today we're going to agree today's the day for salvation, like you tell us in 2 Corinthians 6:2. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so I titled this message, Free From Above. And free, we're going to celebrate. So we're going to be in Psalm 150 today. I do want you to know, after I read that, we're going to be getting into our tithes and offerings, which will be, I'll be coming from a little bit of Malachi and a little bit of 2 Chronicles, and I'll explain that, break it down, teach you how to get the curse off you, because nobody needs a curse or heaviness of the enemy right now. I know a lot of people are frustrated and they get aggravated, and it's this and it's wipe this down and spray here and don't touch that and get away from me and all that. And I understand all that. I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong in that. But I want to be careful that you don't allow that to manage your spirit man that lives inside. What manages the spirit man inside is the word God. So continue to do that. I also want to tell you, I'm very excited that I'm on my knees more now than I think ever. And not just because of the situation that my family's in or the country's in or maybe even you're in. I'm on my knees because that's where God has gotten me and my wife. We're reading a book on prayer. And it's just really blessed me. I'm glad my wife brought that into our lives. So let's get into Psalm 150 and then we'll get going. So here's what I want you to do. Share this with a friend. Share this service with a friend. I'll read it, and then we'll go back and we'll chop it up. So here we go. Praise the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with the loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, maybe this is your first time ever being on our broadcast or being on our church service, and you say, "Hey, you know what? My church, we don't praise the Lord like that. We don't dance because it's against our religion, all that kind of stuff." Well, here's the deal. We're not interested in anyone's religion and what someone's religion says. That's very dangerous, because I believe it's pharisaical thought processes and religion that kills off the Spirit of God. You know, the Bible says don't quench the Spirit. And that means when you don't, we're going to get back to this and talk about this. And I'll tell you the reason why we celebrate is because we have freedom in Jesus. And I kind of got that in my notes, and I've shared these notes with my with some of my deacons, Mark and Gary. So they kind of already know this. But I want to challenge you today to be thinking, and I thought of this, before we go to our tithing, be thinking about this. When you were at a concert last, were you standing on your chair? Were you shouting? You know, like, remember the day you were at Riverport? Remember the day that you were at the Kiel Opera House? If you're my age, remember when you were at the Kiel Auditorium? Man, lighters and people jumping up and down and happy. And all that kind of stuff, and maybe you're excited and you're jumping up and down because the baseball's back or basketball's back and everything. Do you praise the Lord now more than you praised when you went to a rock concert? I'll let that marinate and we'll get back to that. Turn with me into the book of Malachi, and we're going to talk about this, and we're going to reverse the curse. Say that with me, reverse the curse. I'll be honest with you. When I'm preaching, a lot of times, there's times when I'll have things queued up in my Bible, and then there's a lot of times where I feel like I need to go through it with you. So when we're flipping pages, I'm flipping pages with you. I'm keeping this as authentic as I can, because that's just how God's wired me. I want it to be real. 3:6 in Malachi, the last prophet before John the Baptizer. For I do not change, Malachi 3:6. Therefore, O you children of Jacob, are not consumed from the days of your father. You have turned aside from my statutes. Oh my! Statutes! What is a statue? Not necessarily a figurine is not what he's talking about here. You've turned away from my commands. You've turned away from my way of life. Why do we do that? Why do we turn away from the Lord's commands? And you say, well, we do it because, you know, this and that. It feels free and this and that. Look out in the streets of America right now. Do you think that the ways of the world are working at all? I would say absolutely not. We've turned away. So, and you said, did they do that back in Malachi's time? Absolutely. And then he talks about this. So let's, I'm going to pick up some speed. So stay with me now. Get your friends on board. Invite them in. You turned away from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me. So go back to God, everybody. Go back to God. And if you haven't been to God, repent. He says, return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? In your tithes and your contributions. Right after that, without much of a pause, he says, you are cursed with a curse. I don't know about you. Life is hard enough to live right now without a curse being on you and your family. Amen. Hold on for a second. What is the curse right now? The curse is sin. So I'm not going to speak it on my family. I'm not going to heap it on my family. My wife will tell you right now, I'm very, very, very over the top careful about what I say. People actually get very frustrated with your pastor because I don't speak every time I get a knee-jerk reaction. I won't do it because God has made me wise enough through his Holy Spirit to hold thou tongue. Consult the Lord before we start talking and heaping things on other people. He did this. He didn't spray. He did all this different stuff. You don't be worried about everybody all the time. If you don't be worried about somebody, pray for somebody. And he says, well, how'd they curse God here? In the tithes and contributions, you're cursed with a curse, for you're robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, and I will not open up the windows of heaven. And who don't want the windows of heaven open right now? Ask God, windows of heaven, for you pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need, and I will rebuke the devourer. Stop for just a second. The devourer's the devil. Here's the deal. Listen, let me tell you something about his job. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's a nasty booger. And you ain't going to get rid of the devil with spray, hand sanitizer, mask, tents, plastic. The only thing that will get rid of the devourer is the word of God. The only thing that will get rid of the devourer is the word of God and us being obedient to the Lord. Watch this now, class. I will rebuke the devourer. So you're saying you can pay your way out of a curse? No. It ain't got nothing to do with the amount of money that you tithe. He said you're being disobedient. The tithe means I'm first. Tenth of. So nowhere in the Bible does it say anything other than that, where you're talking about Achan's sin, where he took the plunder and all that. God said, everything, I need to be first in your prayer life in the morning, in your finances, in your marriage, in your all that, and you go, well, I wish there was some New Testament scripture about that, because I just don't know. You know, I got a friend that's an expert theologian, and he said, here, let me tell you something about your expert theologian. Tell him to read Matthew 6 and tell him to read Matthew 23:23, New Testament version, and it'll tell you about where God needs to be. That's all I'm going to say to that. So let's quit with the baby stuff, and let's get blessed by God. So I mean this all in love, because I want people to be as close as they can to God. Let's tandem that with 2 Chronicles 7:14, and I did do this. I did this last week, but it needs to be brought up again and see if the theme's the same. 7:14 in 2 Chronicles says this: if my people who are called by my name, now notice this, it's my people, it ain't the world. If you are waiting, watch this class, if you're waiting for the world to give you a solution, if you're waiting for government to give you a solution, if you're waiting for some big official to fix our issue, it will never happen. It will never happen. And I don't say that much. You won't hear Pastor Pat saying never. Man can't fix what's going on in our world right now. Now, it can get better, or it can get a lot worse. And I'll be quite frank with you. I'm pretty much done with the whole deal. I'm on my knees a little more. I'm reading a little more. I got healing scriptures playing a little more. I got praise music still playing all the time. I'm going above, I shouldn't say above and beyond, but I'm trying to create an environment in my home, in our church, in our community, that God would like to reside there. Amen. Let's look at it this way. Would somebody come back to your home if it's not in order and it's nasty and it's uncomfortable and everything? I believe that's the same with the Lord. If we want God to come in here and set up shop and let him be Lord again, let's ask him to do that. So what are the terms? He's got terms here. Oh, I didn't know that, Pastor Pat. I thought we could just live however we want since it's 2020. You got to humble yourselves, pray, seek my face, and turn. Key word here. So here's the key on your keychain. Turn. Do this. Turn. One more time. Turn from their wicked ways. Sorry, got a little loud there. I don't like wicked. My wife will tell you I'm over the top on that. I'm over the shows with the wicked and the cute little this and that and the vampire stuff and all. I don't think it's cute. I think it's crap. Excuse my French. I'm just going to get it out there so it's over. I'm trying hard to watch something on Netflix. And I'll be quite frank with you. It's a daunting task. That's another story. He said, if they'll turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear. So you're saying, Pastor Pat, are you telling me that God is saying this right now? That he's not going to hear our prayers until we turn from our wicked ways? That's not what I'm saying. That's what he's saying.
That's right.
I'm not saying that. I'm not God. Don't slap God label on Pastor Pat. Pastor Pat said this. No, Pastor Pat's reading the Bible. You do what you want with it. Turn from there, and then I will heal from heaven. And what does it say, class? I will forgive their sin. So that's the key that needs to happen. I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Now, you say, well, we live in the New Testament. We can just, you know, Jesus will cover all that. You know, here's the deal. You can't intentionally, willfully, habitually go out in sin and not think that God is going to be upset about that. So there it is. It's Malachi. It's Chronicles. We could go on and on. Let me say something first about tithing. I want to say this, and I want to be careful how I say this. I'm just going to be honest with you. Health, cars breaking down, homes, anxiety, all that. Could that all be tied to the tithe? I don't know. I think you've heard a lot of great preachers out there through time. And another great one that we've studied quite often, Pastor Robert Morse. He said, man, he basically kind of tells me, I believe there's something very well connected with the heart and the pocketbook. Write that down so you can go back and revisit that. Write that down. The heart and the pocketbook. The heart and the pocketbook. Go back and look at this. Not now. Don't try to figure it out now. In your prayer time, you and your wife, you and your husband, you and your kids, and go, pocketbook, Pastor Pitt said that. Let's pray for the offering. Oh, by the way, you can give on hbwt.org, hbwt.org, or my favorite that I've never used. I'm enamored with the text to tithe. Tell me if you use it, because I told you again, if I was paying it, there's no question it would be text to tithe. 314-714-6555. 314-714-6555. Wow, what a cool way to do that. Let's pray for the offering. Father God, we just pray right now. And Lord, if I'm right and I'm hearing you, there could be or may be a connection with our heart and our pocketbook. We never want our finances to supersede our relationship with you. And we never want to take from you what is rightfully yours. I ask God to speak to each people's heart about their tithing commitment to the local church and deliver them like you said you would, and let their crops flourish in Jesus' name. Amen. So talk about that amongst your family and friends out there in Texas and in media land. Talk about that real quick while we're doing this here in this church service. And if you were to read Malachi, they couldn't get their crops to grow. Man, I don't know. If I'm out working, I would want to think that my money is doing the things I want it to do. That was their money. And they couldn't get crops to grow because God didn't bless their land. So there you go. Can we go back to and we're celebrating our freedom.
150.
Yes. So turn to your friend. Psalm 150 verses 1 through 6. Psalm 150 verses 1 through 6. Got to get loud here. Why? Our church doesn't move. Our church sits. We don't ever get up because it's a distraction. Here's the deal. I'm going to break it down to you in Pastor Pat terms. I've said this to many of my friends. If you're getting distracted in church, sit in the front row. Sit in the second row. Don't let people distract you. If you sit in the back row, keep your eyes focused on the man that's delivering the message. I get it. People are in and out. They're coughing. They're sneezing. I'm worried about this guy giving me the virus, that guy. Here's the deal. We come to church. We're prayed up. We're ready to go. We're not worried about anything else. We're coming to hear the word of God, and we're coming to serve and be a community for Christ. Any of the other stuff is a distraction. Say it with me, distraction. Did they, you know, and I don't know if it's ever enough. You tell me if it's enough. If I was to sanitize everything in the whole church, everything, the ceiling, the floor, all the chairs, and, you know, I think my people do a great job. They spray everything down, quite frankly. Yeah, spraying chairs down, all that thing. It's good. I always have. Clean it up. Buy more masks. Put the sign up. Is that ever going to be enough? Probably not. Because people are never satisfied. So my goal, your goal, shouldn't be to satisfy everybody. Your goal should be to pray for everybody. And remember when the COVID virus started this. We're going to love you on either side of the aisle, whether you come, whether you don't come, whether you wore a mask, whether you didn't wear a mask. We're coming to church, whether it's on live stream or in the building, and we're coming to praise the Lord. Why? Because we're free. Now let's talk about the way we do this. I hope you're not going to be talking about electric guitars and drums. Let me tell you something first of all for the drummers in the world. Let me say this to you. If you're a drummer at my church, hit them as hard as you can, because that's what everybody taps your foot to. You need to be excited about being in the house of the Lord. If you want to sing, sing. Sometimes my staff or the bands or the sound booth people go, "Oh, Pastor Pat, we heard you on the live stream." You probably will. And I probably won't ever shut up, because I can't watch me.
I can't imagine. I can't imagine me coming to church and praising God any other way. It's never been an act. It's never been a look at me. And I think everybody knows it's pretty authentic. I come because I want to come. I'm up front because I want to be up front. I sing because I want to sing. That's never changed from the day I walked in the church. When we were our little storefront, I was in the front row, and I've never come out of it, and I never will. I am so enamored with God that I couldn't be any other place. Now, that doesn't mean you have to do that. That doesn't mean that you have to. Your individual relationship with God is your individual. You praise God however you want. Maybe you go, you know what? I like sitting where I'm sitting. That's cool. I want everybody to have that freedom. So what do you do? What are you talking about, Pastor Smith? I'm talking about celebrating it. Well, let's see. Let's see if he's going to keep it biblical. Praise him because he's excellent and he has greatness. Praise him for his mighty deeds. That's what it says in verse 2. Mighty deeds, what did he do? He saved you. If God doesn't ever do another thing for me and my family, I can just praise him for saving my old wretched soul. Say that. He saved my old wretched soul. One more time. He saved my old wretched soul. So I should just praise him for that. We don't need to walk around and act like God owes you something or God owes me something. Well, I'll tell you what, if God was really God, why does he let this happen? Yeah. I'm not going to spend time on that. 3 says, praise him with the trumpet. Have you ever been in a church service where they're blowing the shofar? I have. It's kind of cool. I don't mind if it gets blown every once in a while as long as it's not a distraction. So will you ever get in a church where somebody's blowing the shofar? You could. And he's the person or the woman or whatever usually will come up to the pastor and say something that I got a shofar. And I think I've been in church service where I've had 2 or 3 different people that have asked me if they could blow it. I said, yeah, if the Spirit leads you to blow it, blow it. Okay. Why? Well, because that's what the Bible says. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the tambourine and the dance. I can't dance. Well, here's the deal. Not everybody's got the. I think when we go to Cadillac Jacks and Mark and Kim would play, she would be dancing, singing. She'd lay on the floor at the bar because she loved the Lord so much. I thought that was so good and it was so authentic. Amen. So she loves the Lord. Praise him with the strings and the pipe. Well, my pastor told me that you weren't supposed to praise with the strings. Well, I don't know. Then you better talk to God about the author of Psalm 150. I'd say your minister may have it wrong and God's got it right. How about this? Praise him with the string and the pipe. Praise him with the cymbals. Praising with loud clashing cymbals. Loud clashing cymbals. I wonder what would happen if we all had cymbals in the church and we just clashed them. You know, would everybody come back or would everybody say, that's obnoxious? I think there's a time and place for everything. But I think there's also a time when you get authentic. Some of you guys got the Spirit of God in you and you've never allowed it to manifest because you're afraid somebody's going to say something. Let me tell you something. If somebody says something to you about the way you're praising God, you might want to sit next to somebody like me because I don't care how you praise God. Amen? And then you go, well, what happens if I decide that I don't want to praise God that way? Well, Luke writes something in his book. Let's go to it. It's Luke 19. And some of you guys have heard it before. It's about the rocks crying out. He says, teacher, rebuke your disciples. And he answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. Now, I'm gonna do this. I read it last night, but I'm not going to do that today. It's about the triumphant entry. It's into Holy Week. Maybe the last great praise set before Jesus died on the cross. All the people were there and they were praising the Lord. They were shouting hallelujah.
They're shouting hallelujah, just like you guys are. Shouting hallelujah, shouting hallelujah, shouting hallelujah. And all of a sudden, some Pharisee, some devil-possessed person, tells Jesus, hey, shut your disciples up. They're starting to get obnoxious. And I've told you this before. That's exactly what the world is trying to do. And I tell you, the same thing I told the church last night. I seen a lady that was a street preacher, and she was out in New York City, and she was preaching about Jesus. And it was so wonderful and so heartwarming. And I think in the midst of all of our riots and all of our craziness that's going on in the streets of our country and all the horrible things that are happening, don't you think the world could use a little more Jesus? Don't you think that, you know, maybe we ought to be singing and praising and sharing scripture and music and all that? I do. So here's what I'm telling you. Here's how I'll end this message. Here's how I'll end this message. I don't want road gravel to take my praise away. I don't want rocks to take my praise away, because if I'm not going to praise God, he'll get somebody else or some other thing to praise because he's worthy of it. You go, man, that's powerful. Frogs praise the Lord. Deer and birds and everything. Yesterday when I was sitting out front, two coyotes ran up my street. Coyotes praise the Lord. They yip and they yap and they howl. Man, I tell you what, how would you like to drive by and Pastor Pat sitting out in his front yard howling? Ow! I love Jesus. They'd probably send the people by to check on me. But that's just kind of where we're at in this world. Anybody that shouts and howls for Jesus, they're counted a little weird. And I think people do count me a little weird, and maybe they count you a little weird. But you know something? I'm all right with that. Because my game, there's no shame in my game, and the things I ride on are authentic. And I don't ride on emotion. I ride on the Spirit of God. And I know you do too. So let me do my first call out. This altar call. And I want all the Christians right now to get together and start praying. So Father God, I just want to pray for those who are not born again. Right now. And I'm going to ask you this question. Madam or sir or young person. Would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And if you would like to receive Jesus right now where you're at, just say I do. Just type in I do. I want Jesus to come into my life. Do that right now while I'm with you. I want to pray for you. I'm not asking you to join a church or anything. None of that. I just want you to be saved. So Father God, that person that's typing right now may not understand how you did it, when you did it, or what it all means. All they know is they need a Savior, and they're going to trust in the redemptive work that you did at the cross of Calvary, and the bloodshed was sufficient to remove and get rid of their blood. Or get rid of their sin. And it's been washed and removed. And my dear friend, ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Lord. In thy name we pray. Amen. So if there's anybody out there that wanted to receive Jesus, that's going to be awesome. Be praying for them. So moving forward here, guys, remember that if you don't praise the Lord, that he'll get the rocks to do that, and we don't want that to happen. So let's continue to praise the Lord. Let's get tighter as a group. Let's get tighter as church members. Let's send out more positive things. As a matter of fact, let's start right now. Let me challenge you this. Some of the things you were going to send out today, let's just work on this one day at a time. I'm not going to send anything negative out today. Just say that to yourself. I'm not going to send anything negative today. All I'm going to do is send things out that build up the kingdom of God. I think that's actually a challenge. Pastor Beeble kind of does that at the end of the service sometimes, where he's challenging people. He's good at challenging people. And maybe Pastor Aaron can challenge his youth. But I'm challenging you. It's my people. You know. And I said this to the service last night. Guys, besides Jesus and my family and my wife, there's nothing more important to me in the world than you guys. You guys are my brothers and my sisters. I love you dearly. Let me pray for you before you exit. So I know you guys are all getting ready to kind of leave the building. And so Father God, as we leave the building, their sanctuaries, wherever they're at,
whether it's in their home or wherever they're at. I pray that your spirit would be on them, and people would actually see a glow coming from them, a radiant of the Holy Spirit. I ask that your Shekinah glory rain down, heal our land as they go forth to send out the gospel. Lord God, maybe not in person, but maybe through the internet. And Jesus' name, amen. Hey guys, Pastor Pat signing off here. Hopefully you guys had a good day today. I surely did. Man, this does my heart good. Remember two things here. Jesus loves you, and I love you. You guys have a great day in the Lord.